Hello, welcome to Wednesday. Boom. I'm touching stuff on the screen. Y'all can't see it. Browner, Lawhead, if you're listening on radio, you are on the Mightier 1090. If you're watching us, Jason's currently reaching for his drink in his ad space on YouTube. If you're listening, like, what the hell is going on? You're probably on a podcast. I'm John Browner, and I'm with my co-host, which has been formally announced by the Mighty 1090 Twitter, Jason Lawhead. We are Browner and Lawhead. What is up, Jason?
I'm finally official. What's up, man? It feels good. We're having a good time so far. So, finally official in the San Diego mega market. So, it's great to be co-hosting with you and, you know, the years we've known each other now it's real. And I think we got a lot of room for growth, little ebony and ivory here. It's like, if Paul McCartney
had to go with the basic white person
thing, and huh? Michael Jackson couldn't sing. That's what we are right now.
You had to go with the typical white thing.
Well, that's, I'm white. That's what we do.
I'm surprised you didn't throw salt and pepper in there too.
Salt and pepper? There's
yin yang, all the white black mixes, all of them.
Yeah.
Just throw them all in there. But like I was saying before, if you guys are new to the show, maybe you're a fan of Jason's, maybe you're a fan of mine, and now you're meeting Jason, the way to keep up with this thing and the way to continue to follow it, because we are available everywhere they have one of these. So if you got one of these, then you absolutely can get the show via YouTube, whether it be podcast, whether it be the Mightier 1090, because we have an app where the show basically just streams. So there's no way to run from this. We air well. We out there, as they like to say. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about on the show when it comes to betting. There's a new graphic. There's a new graphic and everything. We got a little thing we're going to play. But as we normally start the show, we do the little thing called winners and losers. And I'm going to start with who I think is a loser. Okay? This guy, please go somewhere else. Like, I don't know about you, and I don't know what you think about Conor McGregor. But I've had enough of him.
I can't.
I really have.
I can't. And I don't care. I haven't been able to stand him for years. I'm not a huge look. At the end of the day, my take on this whole MMA thing, this whole, maybe one in every 20 fights even comes close to living up to the hype. I mean, if it wasn't for the out of the octagon antics and tactics of guys like McGregor and how Dana White tries to kind of manipulate the whole, but you know, marionette the whole kind of industry, there isn't anything of substance to it when it enters the octagon, almost never. I mean, some of the lesser known undercard fights are the only really good fights. So I mean, if they didn't have the weigh-ins, if they didn't have the pre-fight hype, they'd have nothing, in my opinion. And this just goes to, I mean, he made 50 Cent look like Aroldis Chapman in that. What a horrible embarrassment. And if you know you can't throw a baseball, why agree to it? That just shows you the level of arrogance and the attention whore getting this guy needs, is that you can't even throw a baseball, and he'll go tell everybody it slipped out of his hand.
Well, the thing about this pitch that really, really just gets me going, for people who did not see it, and there are people who don't know what we're talking about because you're driving in your car, like, Browner, you're not explaining it. Conor McGregor is throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley Field in Chicago. He's wearing a three-piece suit, and he throws the ball about 90 miles an hour. It goes from his left hand. So it basically goes from his left hand to the crossbody all the way into maybe the fifth row if there was no net. Like, this throw never once had the direction of the plate written on it. And I'm with Jason when it comes to certain parts about Conor McGregor. To me, Conor McGregor has now entered an atmosphere of just an entertainer, because he's got his ass kicked the last couple of fights he's had. I like the presence of a person like Conor McGregor, because we work, you too now, Jason. You can't avoid this. You're now in the media, bruh. You are now in the media. And what we need more than anything is content. And if this jackass provides you nothing, it is literal content. He went from throwing drinks at an unknown, nameless rapper, Machine Gun Kelly, mm-hmm. to to where was he? Then he was at the VMAs, and he was somewhere else, and now he's throwing out first pitches and singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." He's a character now. He's a dancing bear. If you can't appreciate a dancing bear that at one time was a historical fighter, you know, lighten up, people, lighten up.
Yeah, I mean, he's just become he's become like a Jose Canseco type figure. Yes. I mean, you know, I mean, you a flash in the pan in you know, with some big kind of a big introduction to MMA, like Jose was just like, you know, bigger than life when he stepped into Major League Baseball. But then after a few years, he fanned out from all of his expectations and what everybody thought. And then he became a dancing bear and just a mouthpiece of ridiculousness and content. And really, at the end of the day, he's just come down to just being that. And he was really, you know, a hardly ever was. And now he's just a huge billboard of, I can't even come up with the word. He's just a fraud at the end of the day.
Loser works both ways. Who's your loser?
Well, I'm going to keep it local. Mine would have been McGregor until we, you know, but I'm going to keep this one local because it's frustrating. And I'm going to say the Machado and Tatis little dual interview before the game yesterday to explain that, hey, they're on board. We're just fighting. We're not, but it's too late. It's all too late. The fight was too late. If you were going to have that fight, it should have been a fist fight a month ago, because then these guys go out and proceed after having this little moment. They go out and proceed to leave guys on base in the ninth. A chance, both of them, to come up with a man on. Tatis had a guy on in the ninth. Machado came up with two guys on in the ninth against the Giants, who took a run from them in the top of the ninth to make it a one-run game. And they didn't produce. They didn't bring a run home, and they lost. So at this point, the Padres could win every game going out, and they would have to hope the Cardinals go 6-6 to get that wild card. So it's all just too late. Those are my losers. It's a sad situation that had to come up, and it's almost a little just, you know, embarrassing to the point where it's like you have this fight this late, and then you're going to explain it this late, and then you're going to go out and not produce that night, and pretty much just, you know, put the, you know, gravestone in your own, you know, plot. I mean, it's over. It's over. They have to go 12-0 and hope the Cardinals go 6-6 to slide in, or 7-5 to force a one game. I mean, it's over.
I didn't like this when I saw it. I hated the idea of them standing at the top of the dugout talking to the cupcake local media about something that's really not a story. Like, if you've ever been on the team, fights happen all the time. Like, the fact that you just saw this dust up, like, a better fight was when Barry Bonds went after Jeff Kent. That's a dugout fight.
Right.
And by the way, those guys didn't like each other. So that fit the description of what you don't want to see from teammates. This was one guy telling the other guy, hey, little brother, relax, man. It happens. It's not about you. You are great. You're the best player. Go be that on the field. Stop yelling at a coach in the dugout. And for those two dudes to have to then go in front of the media and basically say, oh, well, temper's flare. We're in a pennant race. We're not playing our best baseball. It's unfortunate it happened, but everything is cool. We love each other. Like, everyone knew that already.
Right.
This is where we talk about lack of leadership. This is an unbelievable example of lack of front office leadership and lack of dugout leadership. Because the fact that they even wasted everybody's time with this nothing burger press conference shows you that this boat is floating, but it ain't got no oars and it ain't got no direction. It's just going.
No doubt. And the only real story that ever, I mean, if anything, like you said, what you just said is exactly right about the fact that this happens. This is no big deal. If anything, the media, the story should be get Preller and Tingler shoulder to shoulder and put their feet to the fire on the microphone. Those are the two that have to explain why these things are even at the precipice this late in the season and this desperate of a situation. Why are your two guys in having a skirmish when you've pretty much, this thing should have, if there should have been a skirmish, it should have been 3 weeks ago. And we should have been moving on from, you know, taking that and playing better baseball from that. What's your answer to that, Preller? What's your answer to that, Tingler? And you know, so that's just a big loser, in my opinion, to even have to trot that out and show, you know, show pony that little thing at this point of the season when it's like, it's moot. You guys are done. You're cooked.
Here on this show, I've told you we're going to try to bring you things, one, that we know you've already heard during the week, so we're going to try to have a little fun with it. We are not gamblers. Well, I'm not a gambler. Jason may be a gambler. That's the only reason why he got that hot wife. So we're going to do a little segment that we like to call I'll Betcha. Boom. When I say boom, that means I'm trying to get the screen to work. Look at our new graphic, like chips that. Falling from the sky. What I'm going to do, explain it to people, we're going to go NFC, AFC, but we're only going to do the NFC West and the AFC West because I know that's what people care about, and the Thursday night game because that's the closest game to when this broadcast will actually air. So let's start off with the NFC. We've got the I always want to call them the St. Louis Cardinals because of the actual Cardinals. We've got the Arizona Cardinals against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The over is 52, and the Cardinals are giving 7.5. What do you think, Jason?
Well, I think the
Cardinals. I'm going to write these down, too, so you better be right.
I think the Cardinals, yeah, I'm right. I've got them right in front of me. I think the Cardinals might get 52 themselves. So I think this is a Cardinal blowout. I think this is the blowout of the week. I think the Cardinals go in. Like I said, we talked about that moxie. I think that them coming off of the two wins that they've had, and they've got Jacksonville in their sights, and Jacksonville right now is just trying to execute plays. I mean, at this point,
yeah.
And you know, they're just trying to get off some plays and possessions and series that they can feel good about, and they can go into the film room and say, we need to do more of this or less of that. So I like the Cardinals to cover. I love the over 42-24. Cardinals pour it on and give Jacksonville even a little room to rack up some, you know, late yards and some points in some situations. So that's where I like it. I like the Cardinals in this one big.
I like the Cardinals. I like for Kyler Murray to take his front, because right now David Carr is probably the MVP because a lot of people are talking about the Raiders, because the Raiders do have two really good wins, one in primetime and one against one of the more popular teams in the league. So I would say Arizona and Kyler Murray, the MVP parade, literally starts this Sunday, because I think what he's going to do to Jacksonville will raise a lot of eyebrows. I am picking the Cardinals, and I would give away as many points as I need to.
Yeah.
And I also think the over-under is going to be way, way over. I think we're definitely going to hit the 60 range, because I think the Cardinals are going to get 42 on their own. So we both like the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm surprised that spread's not bigger with some of the other spreads that you see. I just can't believe that spread's not a bigger spread, especially with Urban Meyer not knowing a lot of these teams
terrible
coming in from college. Not how to stop them.
You know, this guy said the NFL's like every week you're playing Alabama. Like, hey, like shut up. Just shut up, man. We know that. It's the NFL. These are the best of the best players on short scholarships, dude. Shut up. Stop saying stuff. Coach your team.
Yeah, I love really that dumb bet. I love that bet. Cardinals and the over. I'd parlay it if I had that kind of money.
Rams, Bucks. Here we go. We talk a lot about the Rams. Everybody loves the Rams. Everybody wants to, oh, the Rams are Super Bowl contenders. Oh, the Rams are serious. Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald. Okay, the Bucks are coming. The Bucks are coming. With a over-under of 55 and the Bucks giving away a point, who are you putting your money on?
I'm going to tell you something. This is my upset of the week. I'm going Rams. I'm going Rams in the over. I like Rams straight up. If you have them on, if you have a little money, put them on the money line. 38-35, I think Donald and company come strong. I think they show Brady pressure that Brady hasn't even had to see yet. Not that Brady can't handle pressure and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't stand up to it, but I think that the game is going to get quicker and pressed on Brady a lot faster than the first 2 weeks. I think that's going to work to LA's advantage in LA. That game's in LA, correct? And yes. I really believe the Rams fans are going to show out. And, you know, they see what's going on with Charger fans and the way other teams want to bring their throngs to SoFi. So Rams fans are going to show out. I think the Rams defense stands up to it. I like the over, but I like the Rams to cover and a straight up win. 38-35 Rams.
I think this is going to be the pouncing that I have been predicting. I think this is the week the shine comes off. I think this is the week where people start questioning, is this team for real? Because, yes, you beat the Chicago Bears, who apparently aren't very good. Yes, you beat the Indianapolis Colts after their cornerback sprained both their ankles. So unless Tom Brady sprains both his ankles, his elbows, and his ass, I got the Bucs.
All right. Well, Aaron Donald might be able to do that just by himself. So there's a good chance that, you know, with that mobility, Donald gets to him a couple of times. Who knows if Brady finishes the football game.
Seahawks. Vikings. Over, under. I don't – well, the Seahawks are given a point. I don't know what happened to the other – give me a pick and I'll find the under.
Boy, this is over. I felt like this was the toughest pick of the week. I feel like this one's just, you know, this could go either way on that line of one and a half to within a field goal. Vikings have it at home. They're just salivating for a win. They feel like they should be 2-0. Seahawks, I don't know. Pete Carroll's a great coach. He'll get a team to mentally bounce back after a loss like that, going on the road, playing in a dome, playing on those conditions is favorable to Seattle as far as a road game. I'm going to take the Seahawks in a squeaker. I just feel like the Vikings are going to have another one of those that they regret. I think it's going to be a little bit high scoring on that surface. 34-30 Seattle.
The over-under is 55.5.
Mm-hmm. I like the over.
So you're taking Seattle.
Yep, 64 total. Vikings have proved that they can put points on the board. I think they're averaging 29 in those two games that they've lost.
I, my friend, am taking the Seahawks as well. I don't I gotta be honest with you, man. I got no faith in the Vikings. Like, not even a little. Yes, I know Derrick Henry did what he did to the Seahawks last week in overtime. Like, literally just beat them into submission. I don't think the Vikings can do that. I don't think they have the offensive line to do that. I don't even think they have the head coaching fortitude to do that. So I am definitely going with the Seahawks. I'm definitely going over the 55, and the Vikings can take the point. Let's go, Seahawks. Packers, my favorite game of the week. Packers, 49ers. The over-under, 49.5, which I thought was pretty low. The 49ers are giving 3.5. They're giving 3.5. So I don't know what people have been watching with the Packers to think that they're better than what they are, but – at home, I like the 49ers, but what do you like, Jason?
Well, I think the 3.5 is just based off of the Rodgers-Garoppolo matchup, right? I think that's at the end of the day where after Monday night's performance. But I'm going to take San Francisco to win it by a point on the short week. They're gonna be at home. I feel like that's going to be the tightest game of the week. I like San Francisco 28, Green Bay 27, but I feel like San Francisco at home. And the short week Green Bay's playing off of is going to benefit the 49ers in a close game, because the 49ers are going to have a lot of these against good teams. They're going to have a lot of these field goal or less games that they're just going to have to be on the right side of. I like them at home. 55 is my total.
Last game. Let's squeeze this Thursday night in game. And here we got 2 minutes. Carolina, Houston, the over under 43. Carolina's given 8. Listen, look, man. I think Houston's terrible. I really think Houston's terrible. And I really think I like what Carolina's doing. I like the way that Sam Darnold has rebounded and appears to have found his moxie. I think this is going to be ugly. I'm glad this game's on Thursday night because I can have it on in the background. I think Carolina's going to roll big.
I do too. I think without Tyrod and without Deshaun being ready, I think with Darnold just feeling a better home, and he's got weapons around him. You know, Darnold now, he can just kind of sit back and relax, and he knows he's got McCaffrey to bail him out on a lot of plays and a lot of situations. He had no personnel in New York when he was dealing with that. So I think they just get confident and more confident as the season rolls on, and especially against an opponent like this. 31-20, I'll take the Panthers and just give Houston, the do because they're at home for a little while, but I like the Panthers in in a game that probably isn't going to be that close.
This is this late this week's slate of games. There's some good ones out there in each window. There will be a good game in each window. The 10 o'clock for here, and then the 1 o'clock window, and then the Sunday night game being the Packers 49ers. I think those are good, solid window games. The rest of these games, Houston, Carolina, the Cardinals and the
Ravens, Jacksonville, Lions,
Broncos, Jets, I know we got to get them out of the way, and it's best to get these games out of the way when it's 0-2 against 1-1, or as opposed to being 2-7 against 3-6. I get that, but anyway, we've got winners when we come back, and Jason's gonna hate my winner. Browner and Lawhead, we'll be back.
Peace.
We are Browner and Lawhead. I'm John Browner, and this is Jason Lawhead, newest member of the media. He now wears many hats, most of them clearly backwards. You can find us on YouTube under the Kaplan and Crew YouTube page. You can find us on a podcast under the Kaplan and Crew, wherever the podcast platform is represented. Our show will always be the date and then the name. And obviously, you're listening to us on the Mightier 1090, regardless of where you're driving in Southern California. You can hear. Can you hear me? Huh? Mightier 1090. Look, we did losers on the first half. My loser was Conor McGregor. Jason's loser was the San Diego Padres in that pathetic press conference. We gave you guys some football games to put a little cash on, but now we finna go to winners. And yesterday, we talked about this a little bit. But I got to tell you, and I'm ready to fight today. I came ready to fight. Jason, I even cut our introduction short because I know we're going to need some time to deuce on this.
Okay.
Winner's Ben Simmons.
Oh, God.
The winner is Ben Simmons. Because listen, Ben Simmons is going to get what he wants. You know why he's going to get what he wants? Because that's the way the NBA works. And Doc Rivers, I don't want to hear about you saying, oh, you need to talk to him. You need to call him. Guess what, bro? You're about 4 or 5 months too late for that because the season ended when you called him. When you said you didn't think he could be the point guard on the championship team, the next day was the day you call him. The next day was the day you sit down with him. You don't do it 2 days before training camp, a week before training camp, because now it's too late because he wants out. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is the hill I'm going to die on because I went to the numbers on this. This guy's been in the league 4 years. And the people who are saying that he's not better than Draymond Green, I would challenge you to go to Draymond Green's best 4 years. Numbers not even close. Not even close. So, Ben Simmons is my winner because, yes, he's kicking. Yes, he's pouting. Yes, he sounds like a petulant child. But this baby is a breadwinner, and he going to get what he want. Ben Simmons is my winner. Eat that, Lawhead.
But what is he going to get? At the end of the day, is he going to get paid? Sure, he's going to get paid. Yeah, there's no way out of that. But what is he going to get? Because you can talk about regular season numbers all day long, and I'm not going to be impressed. I'm just not going to be impressed by an open court game that you can rack up numbers. You can make big defensive plays in the regular season in the open. Like I said, it's a regular season of making the easy look easy. Draymond Green, give me him in the playoffs any day of the week over a Ben Simmons. I don't care what the regular season numbers say. And yeah, Ben's going to get paid. But at what expense to his career and the team that he's on? That will further be seen. And I think that hill you're going to die on is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as this whole drama unfolds. And we'll see come May, June, who's where. And, will the Golden State Warriors ever be the Golden State Warriors that they were without the KDs and without the same rosters that they built during that time? No, but I think they will get back to the playoffs. And whether Ben Simmons – hey, maybe Ben Simmons is a Golden State Warrior somehow. Maybe he's a Trailblazer. I don't know. But I think that at the end of the day, you will see that Ben Simmons will never, in any situation, have the kind of impact success that Draymond Green did. He might go to a team and be a contributor on a team that can – but to what degree – I think that hill is – I think that you're going to die on that hill.
Ben Simmons will be the best player on a championship team.
No way.
Here is why.
When the best player on a championship team, he can't even be the best player on a team that gets bounced out of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Giannis just won a title. Couldn't shoot free throws, can't shoot jump shots, can't shoot threes. They're the exact same player.
Oh, they're not the exact same player.
The only difference.
Giannis can play with his back to the basket, and he can square up, and he can take you downhill off the dribble and make life miserable for you. Ben Simmons in playoff basketball can't
only do that. The only difference between the two is Giannis has no one in his way. If Giannis and Joel Embiid played together, Giannis would have the same struggles that Ben Simmons had. He'd have the same growing pains that Ben Simmons is having. I'm going to tell you this in a reference point. People who want to throw him away because of two playoff games. LeBron James in the NBA Finals.
Way bigger than that.
Couldn't score.
Way bigger against, than that.
Hold on. Against J.J. Barrera and Jason Terry. Let's not forget that. And people were ready to throw LeBron James out as a choker after that. He's won four titles since then. Am I saying Ben Simmons is equal to LeBron? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. LeBron's a far better player than Ben Simmons. That's not up for debate. What I'm telling you is people are very quick to try to throw someone away because we live in a hot take media world society. We're doing this show because people want to throw folks away. Ben Simmons will, at the end of this, at the end of next season, people will be telling me, I am John Stradamus. I got the sight. I'm the Oracle. You. I can't wait, Jason.
I can't either. I just think that as off-season work ethic, this kind of thing, it doesn't compare to guys like LeBron. Yes, what you said about LeBron, he got shut down by a Dallas Maverick team and good coach and a game plan, and he got better. But nobody worked harder than LeBron in these off-seasons leading up to it. Nobody talks more about their dire situation than Ben Simmons without just going out and working at. Until I see Ben Simmons put in any kind of work in the offseason to be the kind of player that a Dwayne Wade worked to be at, or a LeBron James worked to be at, or so many guys he's way more gifted and talented than, God-given, that have worked at, Draymond Green, I just don't see it. And until Ben Simmons wants to get off of this horse that he's on and just humble himself and say, I'm going away in every offseason, and I'm going to do nothing but work, 12 hours a day, be in the weight room. I don't even care if he Instagrams it like LeBron, but be that guy. Be him. He's been in this league way too long.
Have you not seen the evidence of him in the offseason draining these threes?
He's shooting threes with a guy rebounding. He's shooting threes with a guy rebounding. Who cares? This guy rebounding, throwing him out to an unguarded. He's not putting in hard work. That's not putting in hard work. Look, at the end of the day, he's got so many more things to work on with his game as a 5-on-5 basketball player than just an individual basketball player. I'm telling you, it's a whole different makeup, and the NBA playoffs year in and year out show it even more than it ever has. It's more evident than it ever has. Back in the Jordan days, those guys played regular season games like the playoffs, all 82 of them, and they played them hard. Those days are over. We are in a load management. We are in a time where there is not a lot more parity through the middle packs of these conferences than there were in many years before, when it was just three or four teams that could dominate you. And I just don't see his game translating into the game that we've come to see in the playoffs. It's two different basketball. There's two different seasons. They don't even replicate each other, the NBA regular season and the playoff season. And we're going to have this discussion come throughout the year. And I'm going to, I can't wait to be right.
You know what's great about this hill I'm on? As a sniper, I got all the advantage, baby. I got the high ground. Who's your winner?
My winner is going to be for this week at least is Justin Fields getting the nod, getting the call. I think that Justin, you know, look, I think the Browns win this game. I think the spread's a little too big with the way the Browns have kind of come out in the first 2 weeks. They only got 3 sacks in the first 2 weeks against teams that have, you know, were dropping back and throwing the ball. Only got to Mahomes a couple of times, only got to Tyrod's backup once late in the game. So I think he has success. I think that his defense will keep him in the game early against that Browns running game. I'm hoping the Browns running game, like it does do a lot of good fronts, wears them down by running the ball somewhere in the second half. I think the 7.5 is another too big of a spread for Cleveland right now with Baker on a sore shoulder, Landry going to the IR, where we hope Odell's going to come back. But Fields has a chance to just go out and at least establish himself as the field general. He's got a good chance against this defense and with the defense that he has to stay in a game, a 27-20 type game, a 30-24 type game, and make some plays and convert some third downs and do the things that, you know, on paper you look at and you go, okay, we've got a future with this guy. His chances to come back to Ohio where he played college football and at least say, hey, look, you know, under the big sky, you know, Browns have a lot of attention nationally right now, and he could go in there. And that's my winner. And look, I want the Browns to win. And but I'm hoping as an Ohio State fan, Justin comes out and at least establishes himself and gets through Sunday as a winner, even as a loser.
I'm gonna say this with you in all sincerity. Well, let me, before I get to that, I'll get to this. We need a, I'm gonna go to the bank. I'm gonna get a $2 bill. And we're going to have a $2 bill bet on this show.
Okay.
It'll be one $2 bill, and the winner will have possession of it. And we'll make our wagers amongst ourselves, whether it be this this game coming up on Sunday or whether Ben Simmons will lead the team somewhere. That way we'll have a $2 bill somewhere in the background of the screen. I'll give you one. It'll be somewhere in the background of your screen. And someone will have that $2, the possession of that $2 bill when they win the bet, because I think that's a good idea for our show. I don't think the Browns are going to win. Not because I'm a Bears fan, because now another skill position down the wayside in Cleveland. Jarvis Landry is now on the injured reserve. You don't know what's going to happen with Odell Beckham. I love their running backs, but the Bears, literally the only thing they do well at this point is stop the run. Mm-hmm. That's it. They've got Eddie Goldman coming back, who was one of the best nose tackles in the league, to relieve Akeem Hicks. Leonard Floyd showed up last week. I know it was the Bengals. Khalil Mack somehow showed up last week. I know it was the Bengals. And Roquan Smith has been showing up since he got the call when they drafted him on draft day. So I think the Browns won't be able to run. I think this will be a third and long, second and long situation, and then you're going to depend on Baker to throw that football. And I don't like the Browns' offensive line, and I really don't like their skill positions against the Bears' average secondary. So I like the Bears, but to your point of Justin Fields, I want to thank Andy Dalton for scrambling. Because if it wasn't for Andy Dalton's scramble, I don't know if we'd be here. Because they kept saying, oh, we don't want to start because of the offensive line. Now you have no choice. Mm-hmm. You literally have no choice. So this weekend and going forward, it's Justin Fields' team. There's no going back. Period. Point blank. End of story. You are 100% right. Justin Fields is a winner.
Yeah, and all Justin has to do is prove this week and the next couple weeks that he's not a bust. And if he
don't
just
suck.
Proves that he's not a bust, which I don't think he right. is, maybe he might not be ready to be a breakthrough rookie, but if he can prove that he's not a bust, then you're right. It's his team moving forward, and the Chicago Bears at least now have a situation where they can go, here's the guy. We took him in the draft. He's our quarterback. We're moving forward. And, you know, I still think the Browns win this game because I think the running game is good enough over the course of a game. And I still think Peoples, Jones, Schwartz, Hooper, being able to throw to Hunt out of the backfield, being able to throw to Chubb out of the backfield. Odell was a full go today at practice, which is great.
That's good.
About Sunday. So, obviously it'll be his first time
out on the field. But you know, check mark, I think, Stefanski, check mark Baker, check mark the running game, even though, you know, Bears are against, good against the run. I don't like the 7.5, 8-point spread wherever it opens. I don't like where the Browns are getting these big spreads with a lot of little. Well, I just don't like it. Like I said last week, I was right on the number when I said take the Browns to win. But, gosh, take Texans with the points at 12.5. I mean, that's ridiculous with the little things the Browns still need to shore up, special teams deals, little things, you know, in coverage. That I just don't see them being a type of team that covers big spreads yet. They're not there. Are they a better football team? Are they a playoff football team? Yeah. But so with that being said, I think Justin, even in a game where he loses it, he's a winner.
Here is the NFC version, NFC West version of I'll Betcha. Now, we've got a couple of, I wouldn't even say we got a couple of good games. We got a couple of games. Yeah. What did I miss out on? We're going AFC. Yeah, AFC. Chargers, yeah. Chiefs, 55 over. We're going to lighten around this thing. We got 5 minutes. Chargers, Chiefs, 55 over. The Chiefs are given 6.5. Who you got?
I like the over, and I like the Chiefs by a touchdown just because once again, they've got that kind of talent where they can kind of tiptoe through you a little bit and win football games. And look, it's my experience. I know more comedians from Kansas City that live in L.A. than I know Charger fans that live in L.A. So once again, that'll be a road game. It'll be all Kansas City. I think that the Chargers offensively against that defense get to open the game up a little bit more and makes Herbert look pretty good, and they're able to score some points. But at the end of the day, the Kansas City Chiefs with the over, winning it by a touchdown right around that line. I think it's a push right now.
Dolphins. Well, I got the Chiefs. I'm a Charger rooter. I'm a Herboat man, but I think after what happened to the Chiefs last week, I think this is going to be a reckoning for the Chargers. I really believe that. So I'm looking at the Chargers getting rolled.
Wow.
Way over and way over on the points. So I'm taking the Chiefs. Dolphins, Raiders. What turns out to be a very important game for the Dolphins because they need a win, but most importantly, a huge game for the Raiders to prove that they are for real. The over under on this game is 45. The Raiders are given 4 at home against the Dolphins. Who you got, Jason?
Well, you know, this is a typical Raider trap game, right? Like, this is typical. In the past, we've seen the Raiders get off to decent starts, maybe not against the as good of opponents as they have this year, but we've seen them in games where they've just, and then somewhere in week 3, 4, 5, whatever, some team that they should have beat and kept the streak going comes in and embarrasses them. Now, Jets are in trouble, right? They've got some quarterback issues. They're coming off of a shutout. The Dolphins are in trouble. Jets are too. The Dolphins are in trouble. They're coming off of those.
The Jets are also in trouble.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I like that number. 28-17 Raiders. I think that they don't trip up. I feel like they're a little bit more organized. They're a little bit more motivated. I think that they have. This Raider team, you know, especially, kind of has their eyes on the prize, right? And I don't think that they're going to get trapped in this kind of a game. Maybe if Tua was healthy, it could be it, but I like the Raiders. Right on the number, 45, 28, 17 to cover, but not go over or under.
I like the Raiders, and I like the Raiders against the inept Dolphins because I believe that this game is going to be the reason they trade for old Massage Man. The Texans quarterback who will not literally take the field or put a helmet on, Deshaun Watson. I think this is the game that gets Deshaun Watson traded to Miami because at this point, what are you going to do with Tua? He's too small. He keeps getting hurt. And they're the only team with the cap space and the picks to go after and do something like that. So I'm going to call this a Deshaun Watson game. Last but not least, we saved the worst game for last. Broncos, Jets. The Broncos are a 10-point favorite in this game, and the over is a measly 41 points. I don't even know what to do with this. What do you think?
I take the Jets to cover and the under. I like the Broncos by a touchdown only because it's the Jets on the road, but Bradley Chubb's not going to play. I think that gives the Jets a little bit more ability to move the football, move the chains. I think that takes that
10.5 number and absolutely makes it ridiculous without Chubb in the lineup. And the Jets still, though, deficient on offense. The Broncos haven't shown that they can, you know, beat a bad team by a lot of points, and they're not going to put up a lot of points. So I say 23-16, Denver by a touchdown and the under. So parlay the Jets with the points and the under, in my opinion. Ugly game. Nobody wants to watch this game.
No one related to the people on the field want to watch this game. I think the Broncos win, and I think the Broncos win giving up the 10 points because I think the efficiency that their offense has had under Teddy Bridgewater has been solid. Their defense is continued to be solid under Vic Fangio, and the Jets just seem lost. Zach Wilson's a young man. Yeah. He'll get it together, but right now he just seems extremely lost. He's got no one to throw to. He's got no weapons in an offensive line. It's average, but he's got no one else. So I like the Broncos in this one, and I like the Broncos to cover. Jason, your first week is in the books. We got 10 seconds. Tell me what you've thought about your first week so far.
Well, it's great. You know, I mean, I'm now that I'm officially media member of the San Diego and the mega market, it's great. I mean, you know, knowing all you guys has made it a really easy transition. So it doesn't feel like a new job as much as it just feels like more responsibility and more action with you guys. So it's great. Great friends network. I've been part of it for some years now, and now I'm officially kind of ingrained, and just hope to, you know, I've already gotten some positive messages from some people listening through Twitter and my Facebook saying, hey, man, welcome aboard. You're doing a great job. So some San Diego peeps noticing makes me feel good. And I just can't wait to keep it going. I may prove you wrong about Brendan Simmons. I mean, it's going to be great. I'm gonna own that $2 bill. I'm going to own it.
Bye.